This is Femi Kuti, and you are listening to NYC Radio Live.
All right, how are you folks? Feeling good? I am David Ellenbogen here. For this show, we're so lucky. We have one of the great vocalists in New York City, and she's also a songwriter and deeply steeped in poetry and guzzle, and her name is Kiran Ahluwalia. Hey, Kiran, how are you?
Hey, Dave, I'm great. How are you?
I'm feeling good now.
Looking good, feeling good.
Oh, thanks, yes. Yeah, listeners can't appreciate the haircut I got. It's amazing.
Live FB thing.
You're right.
Live on Facebook,
You could do that.
Yeah, you could too.
Yes, I know. Yeah, we could. Anyway, Kiran is a pretty amazing vocalist, as you'll hear.
Oh, thank you.
And she's just been touring all over the place, right?
All over North America.
All over North America.
Yeah.
So how's it been going? It's like people are connecting with the new album, with the new
project. The reception has been great. The one thing that you you mentioned in, just a second ago in my intro, that I'm doing ghazal, and my background is definitely ghazal and Indian classical music, but I'm not singing Indian classical or ghazal. I'm doing a very like a contemporary Indian song form, original songs that I write, that are, as you know, very heavily influenced by West African music.
Right.
And also, this album is more influenced also just by Western R&B as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah, I've heard a few tracks. It's really, it's got a great sound.
Thank you.
Great energy.
Thank you.
Should we just jump into something and then we'll talk about it?
Yes.
What's a good track for the good people out there?
I think you have lined up track number one, which is Khafa, and I gave it the English title of Up in Arms. And this song is about my angst for the middlemen of religion, the men mostly, not so much the women, well, sometimes women as well, but mostly the men that think that the way to your spiritual leader is through them, and the song is saying that I really lament that direct relationship I had with God, and so because of my anger at the middlemen of religion, I turned away from religion, and in that process I didn't take news of myself, because often when I was younger, talking to God was really a way of taking news of myself as well, seeing where I was at myself.
Mm-hmm. So the phony, being exposed to so many phonies, you like threw the baby out with the bathwater. You were like, done with the whole thing.
Yeah, not even phonies. Like, maybe they are very devout, but there are so many, in every religion, there are so many rules made mostly by man that, this tradition, this baptism should happen this way, and now this will happen, and now that will happen, and this marriage ceremony will happen this way. And it's really just man-made rules.
Mm.
And there's a much more direct way of finding spirituality and speaking to whoever you think is the energy out there.
All right, so let's check it out.
Tera raaton mein andheri chatpat ulat gaya sara
All right, back in the studio with Kieran Aluwalia. So, I heard a few things on that track. One for sure, that West African passion that we share. So the rhythm, was that particularly influenced from like a...
Oh, that part was not actually. No. We just came up with that. The tabla player on the album is Nitin Mitta. Yeah. And actually, it was his idea to do that very distinct thing that you heard in the beginning. Tak, 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 tak. Mm-hmm. It sounds very wonderfully tribal to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, Indian tribal or African tribal. And it was his idea. But when I composed the melody, I didn't really have a very specific West African rhythm in mind. But, you know, it's all just like... listen to a lot of West African stuff, and it's just all in my head, and you know, it just kind of comes out sometimes non-specifically. I don't have anything
right. Well, the guitar then, at least, I mean, seems to me very like Rez, your partner, and
Rez Abbasi. Yeah,
it sounds like he's definitely picking up on some of that kind of Tuareg kind of feel.
Yeah. I mean, this one was not so much Tuareg. Mm-hmm. This guitar feel, it was more like other kinds of West African musicians that we listen to a lot, like right. Amadou and Miriam.
Okay.
A lot of right. other musicians mm-hmm. that aren't so popular, but you know mm-hmm. that we know of.
Cool. One of the reasons I'm bringing this up, although I guess I kind of missed the mark a little bit.
Oh.
Kieran and I first hung out in the desert sands of Timbuktu.
Yes.
That was awesome.
That was absolutely awesome, yeah. I wouldn't have gone. I was invited to the Festival au Désert in Timbuktu, as you know, but just to recount... And it ended up being the very last festival because after that, Al-Qaeda took over and then the military of Mali was fighting them and then there was a military coup and there was such a mess that the festival never happened again. So anyhow, unbeknownst to us, it was the last festival in the desert that had been happening for years and years. And I was invited to play there, to sing there with Tinariwen, with a song that I did with them, Must Must. And Rez, my partner and guitarist, Rez Abbasi, you know, wasn't able to go because he had concerts lined up. And so there was no way I was going to go alone to the desert. And you very kindly stepped up.
Right, because the CIA, I mean, the State Department was telling Americans not to go because some Germans had been kidnapped. And
Canadians had been kidnapped. And I have a Canadian passport. I'm right. Canadian.
But they're like, don't you see the flag on my backpack? Why are you kidnapping me? It shows I'm not American.
The German was actually killed.
Ugh.
Yeah. And the Canadians were brought back. But yeah, it was very dangerous. I phoned up the Canadian embassy to see what help they could give me. And they basically said, don't come.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you and I.
That's
went
when
anyways.
I stepped in.
Yeah, that's when you stepped in with your red cape and said, "I'll take you there, Kieran."
Yeah, no, I remember having such some just really weird, profound moments, like because you never know what to believe. It's like when they say there's a hurricane coming, and you're like, "Well, is it coming, or is this storm just a media storm?" And I remember I went out to record Noor Mint Say Mali out in Timbuktu, and like I took this like walk by myself around the block, and of course the streets are all sand and the buildings are all mud, and everything feels like you're in the Old Testament, except for motorcycles might break that feeling, but
and
people,
the jeeps
people are in donkey, you know, people are with donkeys and they've got
camels
yeah, they're arriving on camels, and they've got, you only see their eyes because they're dressed like Bedouins. And I was just like walking around, and I'm like, well, you know, is this real? Like, is this dangerous? Like, it feels fine, you know. And I saw someone writing something in a book, and I was like, so curious. Like, okay, I got to find out. Like, what are they writing? And I looked over their shoulder, and it was like really, they were just doing like simple geometry things, like Pythagorean theorem kind of things. It's just interesting.
The very simple Pythagorean thing. Yeah, so,
but it was just like, yeah, no, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. You know, it's just like, it was like that kind of thing. It was like really...
Maybe it was actually the Tomaszek language they were writing, because it looks very hieroglyphic.
Yeah, shows what I know, right? Yeah, I'm like totally interpreting it wrong. But so that's, I mean, in your work with Tanarwin, obviously that this stuff has made its way into your music.
Mm-hmm.
And you started, though, as a Hindustani vocalist, so... Yeah, who is your...
Yeah, I mean, I started my journey at the age of 5 learning Indian classical music in India, where I was born. And then my parents, when we immigrated to Canada, they found Indian classical music teachers for me there. And I continued learning there. And Indian classical music has always been my base. That's what I've been learning. I get up in the morning and those are the exercises I do for my voice and to further my compositional abilities. But what I have always sung, even as a child on stages and as an adult on record and on stages, is a more modern song. It's basically mm-hmm. Indian modern song. I don't have a name for it. I studied part-time Indian classical music in Canada as I was growing up there. And then after my university degree, I got a job. And then after working for a while, I quit my job to go back to India to be a full-time student of classical music. And there, my guru, my teacher in classical music was Padma Talwalkar. And she still is my teacher, yeah. And so I learned from her for about 10 years. And then I also learned a ghazal from a legendary maestro, Pandit Vitthal Rao in Hyderabad, who's no longer... And so these two genres, Indian classical music and ghazal, are the basis of my training. And what I do, however, is a very a hybrid kind of Indian music that incorporates my own Western culture as well, my own Western upbringing, and also my global cultural citizenship of including whatever it is on the earth that I like, which happens to be African, mm-hmm. West African music and Western R&B.
Right. So you've got the musical influences, obviously, of all this globe. And then it sounds like in terms of the songwriting, you're also deeply influenced by the ghazal, the poetry of that ghazal touches on, and this Persian poetry and that kind of stuff.
My training is in all of that. So my training is in ghazal poetry, but I'm not writing in the ghazal format. So when I'm mm-hmm. writing the songs of Khafa or any of the songs on this or my previous albums, they're not in ghazal, because ghazal is a very particular uh-huh. format of poetry, just like the sonnet.
Right.
You have to adhere to specific rules of the sonnet.
Right.
To write a sonnet.
Yeah.
And, you know, what Amy Winehouse wrote is not a sonnet. It's a song.
Sure.
And it's in the same way I'm writing a song.
Right. But I was thinking more as subject matter. It seems like you kind of touch on some of this stuff, but maybe... You know, like even in the way you described that first song, like this one should have a direct relationship with the divine. But,
right.
You know, maybe it seems like, but no, sometimes.
It's probably in there.
Yeah.
You're right. It's all in there.
Right.
Yeah. Coming out.
So, all right. So let's hear something. What should we listen to?
We can listen to the title track, track 2. This track is called Sat. That means 7. And the album is called 7 Billion. And this song, Sat, is, I wrote it about cultural intolerance amongst the 7 billion people on Earth today.
All right, let's check it out. Let's check it out. Thank you.
gazab gazab o 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 gazab 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 gazab
Thank you.
ये हम गुनहगार औरतें, ये हम गुनहगार औरतें, जो अहले जुब्बा की तम कनत से
God.
All right. We're in the studio with Kiran Ahluwalia, great vocalist, singer, songwriter, bon vivant, and world traveler. Yeah, we were just talking about, you know, you're always on the move, so you got some new places on the map you're thinking of checking out.
Yeah, well, I mean, we just finished a very massive North American tour, mm-hmm. and so right now I'm really looking forward to staying at home in New York City and checking out other people's music
yes.
around the city. But yeah, later on in this year, I'm planning with Rez to go, Rez Abbasi, my guitarist and partner, to go to Mali again and mm-hmm. to perhaps wander off to Ethiopia as well.
Yeah, that's super exciting.
Yeah, you're welcome to put on your red cape again.
Oh, yeah, you might, yeah, if you need protection. wow, yeah, that's so amazing. And yeah, Ethiopian music just opens up, you know, so much possibilities and amazing stuff. So you got the new album. No more local dates yet that you're announcing. It's
not yet. Not right now. Yeah.
Pumping the album, and it's doing really well. People are listening.
Yeah, I mean, it's people seem to be listening. It was number two on Earshot radio charts, mm-hmm. and it's very high on the college campus radio charts as well. I forget what number, mm-hmm. And the European radio charts as well. And so I'm really happy that I'm able to connect with people through this music. And, you know, I'm looking forward to playing the music live for people as well.
Yeah. So where in your travels do people, like, have you been surprised about, like, you're making, like, kind of really strong bonds with the audiences or something? Is there places like that that you're like, oh, wow, I didn't think that Kathmandu would be our big spot? Or
well, this tour was in North America. Yeah. And, like, in every concert, after the concerts, I come out to meet the people where we sell CDs on the CD mm-hmm. booth, and then I love talking to people. And this time around on the West Coast, we had sold out shows in Seattle and San Francisco. On the East Coast, the weather was really, really quite horrible, but mm-hmm. still we had close to 500 people at the Berklee Performance Center in Boston, and then we went over to Canada. And so at each show, really, there are people that I really fall in love with, mm-hmm. talking to them even just a little bit, and then I tell them to keep in touch. You know, usually people it ends up, you know, they get a CD, I sign it, and while I'm signing, I ask them a little bit about themselves. And, you know, sometimes I find people very interesting. They end up taking a picture. Then they tag me on Facebook. And then I often end up keeping touch on Facebook with some people. Mm. So there's this woman in San Francisco that I've kept in touch with for 10 years. And it all started with her coming to one of my shows 10 years ago in San Francisco. And now she was there with her husband and her two kids, who are like 12 years old. So
wow. Yeah, you know, I was recently in Hawaii. And I got to see a friend that maybe I mentioned to you that I had done a year of traveling with in like year 2002 or something like that, or 2004. And somehow she now lives in Hawaii on an organic farm. And she like brought up your name. She's like, oh, do you know the music of Kiran Ahluwalia? You know, and I was like, no, her, yeah, blah, blah, blah. We went to Africa with her. And they were like, oh, my God. Like, I became like this demigod just by association.
Aw, that's
with you.
Sweet.
So, yeah, you got fans all over.
Oh, that's nice to know that I have connections all over.
Yeah. So, any...
Well, it's really about that, you know.
Yeah.
It's really... I really, really do love. I mean, doing the record is great. You know, while I'm doing the record, I'm connecting with the musicians. And I see it this way. When I'm composing, I'm kind of very much connecting to myself. and it's an emotional response to me writing for me writing the music. And then when I get the band together and we're performing it and we're rehearsing it and we're recording it, it's connecting with the other musicians. And then finally, when we do this new music live, it's so amazing to connect with the audience.
Yeah. Well, much more to come. Congrats on the new album.
Thank you.
And people can check you out. You're all over the – very easy to find, Kieran Ahluwalia. Website's Kieran Ahluwalia?
The website – oh, no one – I would never expect anyone to spell Ahluwalia ever. So so the website is Kieran Music, and Kieran is K-I-R-A-N – music.com. And the new music, 7 Billion, the new album is on, of course, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, whatever.
Everywhere
that you would like to listen.
Yeah, nice. And
and the videos are, you can find as well on kieranmusic.com.
Cool. So let's take it out with one more. And
how about Jumo number 5? And this is Jumo is a song about a woman trying to convince a shy lover to have sex.
Wow.
There you go. Not good.
Racy
one to
for right? Rag or Tal. What language is it in?
This is in Urdu.
Okay, so if you are an Urdu parent and you're...
Oh, well, it's not X-rated, though.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all... It's all like, come on, live a little.
I see.
Yeah, let down your shoulders. Live a little. See what pleasures I will bring you and we will bring for each other.
All right.
We could be talking about milk if you're children, you know.
On that note, thanks, Kieran. Thanks, listeners. I'll be back at 11. I got a few more interviews with some great musicians. Martha Redbone, who you should know about.
I love Martha.
Yeah, she's the real thing. So tune back in at 11. And like I said, everything, including this interview, will be up at nycradiolive.org. Congrats to our ticket winners. And thanks for listening.
छोड़ो रिवायत छोड़ो शर्माना छोड़ो कशाकश जुल्मी जमाना जूम